lost to ignorance and confusion. Three men arose from humble beginnings with a message of wisdom and hope for their troubled times. Three men who would eventually change the very face of humanity.
But they fell off a cliff. So, here are some other guys.
It's Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil, and Janice.
And good evening and welcome to Song Talk Radio for this Tuesday, July 12, 2016. We are streaming to you and broadcasting live from Toronto, Canada on CJRU 1280 on the AM dial. Song Talk is the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. Oh, they can be fresh newbies or established professionals, and together we share tips, techniques, and other cool things found, and together we all become a little bit better at writing songs. Right, Janice?
Absolutely.
Yes, I am your host, Bruce Harrett, and joining me tonight are some of the intrepid members of the Song Talk Radio Action Team. We have, of course, on tech tonight, the fabulous Phil Emery.
That's me.
And sitting in for Neil Modi, we have Janice Ho.
Good evening.
And hold your applause to the end of all the announcements. And on social media, we have Nicole Di Donato.
Hey, Nicole.
Yes, Nicole.
Okay, of course, and Neil, of course, is on assignment in Beijing.
Yeah, we just say that, but actually, I think he's in Richmond Hill. Anyway,
same difference.
Don't forget, we always love hearing from you, so please send your thoughts, complaints, and recipes to feedback@songtalk.ca. You can find us on Twitter @songtalkradio or use the #songtalk. During the show, send us your thoughts and we'll share them in real time, whatever that is. What is real anymore about time? It's so unreal. You can find us on Facebook and YouTube @songtalkradio and now via the iTunes podcast directory. So go there, and if you like the show, please give us a positive review, and then we'll get noticed.
Only positive.
Don't give negative reviews. No. Then we'll get noticed by those browsing iTunes, and apparently we have quite a standing now, Janice. Yes, if you Google iTunes songwriting, we're right up there. We could be number one. And please stop by our website, songtalk.ca, and find out how you could be a guest on our show. Speaking of guests, we have TC Folk Punk in the house tonight.
Ooh, yay.
It's been over a year since he was here. We're happy to have him back. Now, he was given a Beatles album when he was 4 years old and decided he'd like to be a Beatle when he grew up.
Oh, my.
But unfortunately, they weren't hiring.
Yeah.
Sad. Not yet. But around the age of 17, he started to play in bars and pubs. And the drinking age at that time was 21? The legal age was 21.
Oh,
right?
My dreams.
No,
19.
19, but yeah. You know, we're 17. But by that time, he was tall enough to be able to get past them, like to fool them, right? Yeah. So he made many cassette albums. Remember cassettes, everyone? And they were released, and then he did hundreds of gigs. Then he did a compact disc album that was released, many of them. And then many more hundreds of gigs ensued. And now he's, I guess he's releasing on the internet. But a little note, as of December 2015, when the Canadian indie comedy film Love in the Six, that's T.O., premiered at the Whistler Film Festival, T.C. added actor, film score composer, and possibly movie mogul to his list of talents and achievements as well. So welcome, please, everybody. A big round of applause for T.C. Folk Punk.
Yay!
I saw you.
In the house. Oh, shucks. Shucks. Well, you wrote that.
You're blinded by your stardom.
No, I just wrote the applause part.
Oh, okay.
You're right. Well, you did the rest.
Welcome back. It's been a little while. Any changes since then? Anything new?
Well, glad you asked. mostly the movie. Because last time I was here, we were still shooting the film, and now we are done, we're obviously done shooting it, and it had its world premiere in Whistler, and we had our USA premiere in Chicago in April.
So what's it called so people can Google it?
It's called Love in the Sixth.
Well, we said that.
Yeah,
let's repeat that then. I remember.
Yes.
I remember. It was just a few seconds ago. Love in the Sixth.
Sixth, yeah.
And when people Google that, do they end up on, you have a website for the film?
Yeah,
and
loveinthesixth.com.
Right.
A website for the film, and you can follow links from there. We have samples of the songs on there.
Great.
And if you go to the, there's like a buy stuff or shop page or something. If you go there, it'll take you to the Bandcamp page. And you hear the whole soundtrack.
And how do you see the film? Is it going to be released?
No.
You're not going to release it?
Well, we're trying to release it, yeah.
Well, you want to get a theatrical release, right? Yeah. Or just online?
Yeah, theatrical or some sort of distribution. That's still in the works. We're still doing the festival circuit.
Oh, great.
Applying to festivals right now.
I just heard something from Mark out in the other room. He's got a film. Apparently, a big no-no is to release it on the web because then you cannot release it to festivals because
right.
it has to be a premiere.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
So, kids, if you have a film, hang on to it. Don't put it on YouTube because the festivals will say, has it been seen on the web? And you go, yes, sorry, we can't take it. Did you know that, Phil?
I did not. Oh. How's the difference do you find writing your own songs to writing music for the movie?
Well, the ones for the movie were easier in one way in that I co-wrote pretty much all the ones that appeared. Well, there are three that I had already written or were existing songs from previous projects, so they sort of bubble up here and there. And then anything else that was purposely written for the film, Jude Clausen, the writer, director, co-star, producer, she would write a lot of the lyrics. And so I had melodies kicking around that needed a home, and we would just get together and I'd play a few samples and she'd go, yeah, I like that one. And then I would just do a quick demo of me humming it, and then she would work on lyrics, and we'd kind of go back and forth, and then I might throw in a lyrical line here and there, or she might come up, she would change the melody when she's saying it.
Oh, is this a drama?
No, it's a comedy. It's
it's a comedy, yeah.
Yeah, in fact,
I read that.
Yeah, in fact, there's... Would you like to do your intro over?
Let's do it over. So it was a Canadian indie comedy film, Love in the Six.
Yeah.
Is it funny?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Great. That's great.
A lot of comedies
and musical.
Well,
it's a big thing. And Canadian.
No, but is it musical in the sense that the music that you wrote comes out of somebody's mouth who's singing your songs, or your songs in the background?
They're actual musical numbers. It's kind of like Grease meets Woody Allen's Manhattan, directed by Terry Gilliam or something.
Wow, I like it.
It's like just a mishmash.
It's a musical.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Like they break out into songs.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, it started off as a, what happened, I met Jude at a party, and it was a party where people were just sort of passing around acoustic guitars, and I played a couple of my songs to a mutual friend, and Jude happened to be in the room and said to me later, oh, I like your originals, I'm starting production of this film, I might, would it be okay if I had a couple of your songs, sort of playing in the background?
Nice.
And that went from that to, we should make it a musical, let's actually write songs for the film.
That's great. And is this your first film?
Yeah. Yeah.
Great.
So to go from...
Pretty cool experience.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah.
Is this something you want to keep doing more of?
Or? Oh, totally. Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah. Great.
And you're largely a solo artist, so was the collaboration piece like something that was new and challenging for you at all, or have you done a lot of collaborations before?
I've done some collaborations. This was definitely the smoothest.
Okay.
When you sort of click with somebody and you collaborate and you're just kind of on the same wavelength. Mm-hmm. And I think Jude and I had very similar record collections when we were teenagers. And so it seems like one of us can sort of like pick some point of reference that might be obscure for a lot of people. The other one goes, oh, yeah. I had that album.
Sweet.
Yeah. So that made it really smooth.
Nice.
Yeah.
Cool.
Janice is in the film too, folks.
I am in the film.
Oh, Janice.
I am an international star. People across the world have seen my face on a movie screen.
Across the world?
Sharing my views about Harper, I think.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, you were a woman on the street as part of it?
That's one of the things that's interspliced. There are like women on the street interviews that sort of set up the next scene.
Oh,
and then at the end of the
love.
Scene... Yeah, or about lots of things, and the environment, all sorts of things,
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So that's cool. So how about your other songwriting outside of film? Have you continued to write songs for yourself, for your performances?
I have.
Albums?
Yeah, and I've got 8 new ones that I'm going to start working on this coming Saturday.
So you release cassettes, you release CDs.
Mm-hmm.
How do you release music now?
Back to cassettes.
Maybe. Okay, well,
that's actually people are doing cassettes again.
I know. It's hilarious.
Where's the technology? Do people still have cassette players, or are there?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Well, I don't know.
It's kind of like
somebody does.
People collect
like
vinyl don't actually have record players.
But people are. It's weird. They've actually opened up a brand new record vinyl pressing plant in Brantford. It's one of the largest in North America.
Wow. Yeah.
And like kids, people who are like 30 and younger, they're
Your kids compared to us, yeah. is what he's saying.
But, yeah, they're getting into cassettes, which is so strange.
Too. Wow.
Yeah.
Everything
yeah.
old is new again.
Yeah. That's how it
so
goes.
It's just so annoying when it starts spooling out on you. It's just crazy. We got to get the pencil and wind it back. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Days and,
yeah. That was terrible.
I think the pencil sales are going to go through the roof
as
a result.
No, but you're going to release on the web, is that how you
yeah,
do it?
I would do it on Bandcamp first, probably, right. because I found there are more people who have PayPal accounts in the world than there are people with iTunes accounts in the world.
There you go.
So with my last album, it's so far has done much better in Bandcamp than it did on iTunes.
There's a tip, kids.
Yeah,
I've heard that Bandcamp is better than iTunes or even SoundCloud, actually.
Yeah.
Why do you think
can
that
you
is?
Sell on SoundCloud? Can't sell on SoundCloud.
I don't think so.
No.
That's when you're giving it
I think
away.
It's, yeah, but I think Reverb Nation is another one, which yep. is kind of like Bandcamp, but I think Bandcamp's
yeah.
a bit better.
Yeah, although I kind of get the impression, nothing against the folks at Reverb Nation, but I think they've peaked. I think they're mm. they've sort of come and gone. Bandcamp mm. seems to be the latest one. And this, yeah. for all I know, it's, you know, it's sort of at its plateau now, and maybe it'll start to mm. fizzle off in the next 5 years.
Do you still sell hard copies at concerts when you
yeah.
perform?
Yeah.
Like you make a few CDs, and then they're available for sale?
Yeah.
Or?
Yeah, I get 300 usually is the minimum mm-hmm. run. I forget how many I got of the last one. 300 or 500 or something. And
do you
people
sell
do
some
actually want
every time you perform? Do you sell a few every time you
yeah,
perform?
Yeah, probably
much?
Average one or two yeah. every show. Now. I mean, it's over a year old, right? So when it first came out, mm. You know, it was like 5 to 10 at every gig, and then it kind of dwindles off. Because the people coming out to see you, they've already got their copy.
Of course.
Yeah, you know, you get the return customers. Mm. But yeah, I still sell probably on average one or two. And people still like having that tangible.
Yeah, I would really advise
getting
you know,
it signed. And,
when
yeah.
you're doing your own stuff, even if it's not like the most polished recording, actually putting it onto a CD mm-hmm. actually kind of makes you seem a bit more established. Because it's a different kind of relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, we put out two CDs and...
that's the Parkdale Hookers.
The Parkdale yes. Hookers. Mm-hmm. But it's, and it really does help. I mean, to actually have something that you can send to radio stations or send to,
yeah.
you know, like a label or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just nice to have that kind of a calling card. And people say, well, I can give, you know, download cards. I have never downloaded anything from a download card that anyone's ever given to me. And people
yeah.
give me a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
There's also just yeah. that time delay between you giving that card and them going home and then having to
yeah.
take the initiative to go on and buy it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas they're there, they've seen you play, they like your stuff, and here's your, you know,
yeah.
your CD right
it's
here.
It's tangible.
Yeah. It is, mm-hmm. yeah.
It's tangible. Yeah. Well, that's cool. Has anything changed, you think, in your writing over the past year or so? Like, do you notice any evolution or switch or change influence in your writing?
I've gone a little less. I was very big, thanks to you know the influences of Billy Bragg and people like that. I was pretty heavy on the not pretty heavy, but more into social commentary and political stuff and that. And I've kind of leaned away from that a bit. And I think it might be it's probably the influence of the film. I find like little bits of the film kind of bubble up because I mean you write about what you're doing, and I worked. A lot on the film. I wasn't just working in front of the camera. I was working behind the scenes, and I was logging video files to pass on to the editors and such. So I wore a number of hats. We also were like this team family that wore multiple hats all the time.
Oh, you're really invested in this
yeah.
film then. It's,
yeah.
it's your part of you.
It was a big project between two albums.
Is it feature length?
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. We got a tweet in from Sharon. What's next, 8 tracks?
Love them.
Yes.
Actually, I was in a band that put out an 8-track, and we sold 150 copies because
yeah.
there's people who are rabid 8-track tape fans.
Yeah,
and so they'll do it. Also, TC Folk Punk was on our show before, and that's March 16th, 2015,
yeah.
and we tweeted out the URL. Right. So you can check out that show, because that was a good one, too.
That was a good one, yeah.
How about we hear a song?
I think yes.
Sure.
Would you be willing to do that tonight?
Well,
okay, we've got to fire up the amp here.
Yeah, I gotta,
we've got a cool, what kind of amp is that?
It's just a little Roland Microcube.
A microtube.
Cube. Microcube.
Cube. It's not a tube. There's no tubes
there's
in
no
it.
There's no tubes.
Solid state.
But it tries to pretend there's tubes.
And did we explain that TC is like a one-man band?
Yes, let's talk about your approach so people who are just not familiar with you.
Sure. And by the way, the lyrics are on our website. So
that's
if
right.
you're listening on the web tonight, just go to our website, songtalk.ca. You can follow the bouncing ball,
yes.
metaphorically. if we had a bouncing ball, you'd be able to follow it. But
you
the lyrics are there.
And
you
I
have to provide your own bouncing
it,
ball.
Because I think
it really helps
lyrics
understand
are
it.
Really, really they're very interesting, and I think it really helps read them.
It'll help you really listen to the song, and since this is an educational program, and he might miss lyrics, and then you'll,
please tweet in any lines I missed.
So the approach is like you're a one-man band, but you don't have a rhythm machine or anything. It's just you and a guitar.
Yeah.
And it's you and an electric guitar, which is different. So it's not just like a guy on an acoustic.
Right.
And
that was the Billy Bragg influence.
And Elvis Costello. You never think of him playing acoustic.
The thing I love about your approach, though, is I think so many songwriters go, well, I need a band to actually put myself out there. And you don't.
No.
You know?
Janis doesn't have a band.
Yeah.
She's out there.
That's right.
But when you're doing kind of rock or poppy stuff, you think I got to have a full band.
I've got a rhythm section, or I'm not even going to go, right? Yeah. No, your songs sound great with you and the guitar.
Well, thank you.
So what are we going to start with, The World of You?
Yeah, sure.
Do you want the listeners to know anything about this, or this is a feedback show? Do you want feedback on any portion of it at all?
They can if they want. Okay. Yeah, sure.
Unqualified praise?
Yeah, that would be good. I'll take that first.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not changing the song now, so it's like, is what it is.
So we'll just kind of comment on it, what you loved about it. Let us know.
Yeah.
Okay, here's TC Folk Punk. He's singing one of his original songs, The World of You.
Yeah.
Was it wrong to have perceived a spark? Being so much in the dark, would any light appear to be a beacon? And if someone thinks the world of you in the face of nothing new, no surprise if one's resolve is weakened and weekdays go by in a crawl. A private general malaise. Until you trip and you properly fall, ending a year of a month of Sundays. The world of you, the world of you. I think the world of you. I see no fault in my worldview if my world is the world of you. You can pour the past out of your pen, turn the page and start again, writing till the wrongs are long forgotten. See, beautiful and sharp and drawn to romantic marathons, running on while exercising, caution gets thrown to the wind and the wolves, the hard out foxes, the brain. Hunting the half that could fill the hole, building up something from pieces of pain. The world of you, the world of you. I think the world of you. I see no fault in my worldview if my world is the world of the world of you, the world of you. I think the world of you. I see no fault in my worldview if my world is the world of you. If my world is the world of you. Now my world is the world of you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Beauty. That is so cool. You've got a very cool lick happening there.
Mm. Yeah.
A hooky lick, as we say.
Love
and nice little finish there. Now my world is the world of you. So it happened.
Mm-hmm. And the guitar has that cool kind of lick, but the chord progression.
Very
Beatlesque.
That's
really hooky, yeah.
Yeah, it's very Beatlesque, which is a compliment, by the way.
Thank you. Well, I did the trick, where sometimes they would swap out, you have your basic three chord pattern, right? Yeah. Sometimes they would swap out a major for a minor and vice versa, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is like, it's in A. Well, I guess the chorus is in A and the rest of it's in E, so it's an A major, and then you would expect maybe a B minor, because that would be the relative minor of the D, but it's a B major.
Ah.
And then instead of a D, D major to D minor against an A major, right?
The Beatles did that.
Yeah, I love that D minor to the A. That is so tasty. Says as your love will
mean a lot. You know, you always have really interesting chord progression. So did you learn that from listening to artists like the Beatles and studying their music, or?
Yeah, partly. It's not a conscious thing. I mean, I just hear a cool chord change from anybody, but it seems those guys did it a lot. And then it was sort of picked up by bands like Squeeze, and Costello ran with it as well. So it just was carried over to the next generation. That was what was happening when I first, you know, was a 13-year-old or whatever and picking up my first guitar. I just caught that renaissance in time.
Yeah.
The first Beatles albums when I was a kid, listened to those and ignored disco. And then, you know, all the new wavy and punky stuff happened as I was old enough to get my first guitar, and I was just like, I'm saved.
Well, and Squeeze was such a great band with so many clever lyrics and tasty little chord progressions.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I really like The Heart Outfoxes the Brain.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't think of the heart being smarter than the brain, but of course it is when it comes to love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a bit about the wolf right before this.
Gets thrown to the wind and the wolves, and then you went with the animal imagery. Yeah. And hunting the half that could fill the hole, building up something from pieces of pain. I really like your imagery there. In terms of, we always talk about on this show, and then I'll go to you, Phil, right away after this, but we always talk on the show about if you were to allow one of us to co-write with you on a revision of the song, which you're not, but in theory, just so our listeners can learn, what I would do is I would work on bringing some progression through the chorus pieces. Mm-hmm. In other words, some perhaps change of melody, actually maybe even a modulation through to the last, because they are, while they're hooky, I think they could use a bit of progression as they move rather than repetition. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, that bum 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 thing is beautiful. Gun gun gun. Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Dun dun dun. There's so many great licks in the world, and the thing is that I'm not. That's not something that's my forte, because I write lyrics first, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to get into that, but Phil, you are. You start with music usually, right? So
always. Yeah.
What's your take on the world of you?
Well, it's great. One thing I love is writing till the song's long forgotten. I just love the way that line hits. And it's interesting how your second verse kind of, when I was expecting a rhyme for forgotten, that it kind of runs into your bridge. Well, not bridge, but a pre-chorus.
Yeah, thing. Whatever
you got
it's
a pre-chorus sure thing happening, right? Yeah.
Now, and just, you know, to Bruce's point, like, I wouldn't...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I think if you actually did do like a key modulation on the last chorus, it would kind of make it sound a bit more like a show tune. And I think that's not kind of what the thing.
It would push my range too, because I'm kind of like in some parts of the song, I'm kind of down. Like I can go lower, but it might be hard in a live gig situation. And then I'm sort of at the top, and I can go higher, but you have one of those nights where you got a sore throat or something. Yeah. I don't want to croak.
And so, I think it makes it sound. It would make it sound a bit more like, you know, a show tune, which is fine. But I don't think that's kind of what you do.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of off brand.
Only on camera.
Off brand.
But a question I do want to ask you is because. You're kind of a real wordy, kind of clever
lyricist.
You know, you're good with them. You're good with them things. You know that come out of your.
Phil and I help each other. We're both over 45.
You guys can collaborate brilliantly. Yeah, you should put out a cassette and just talking.
So comedy too.
So I was sort of surprised that the second chorus at the end is just a replication of the you repeat the chorus, but they're both exactly the same. And normally, you would throw in like a clever alteration on the second one. That's sort of something that you've done before, and I'm just kind of wondering why you didn't do it this
time. That was my question.
Yeah, I think it was. It's almost supposed to be like this loop of a line. Like I think the world of where do I stop there? Hang on.
The world of you.
I play an automatic pilot now, so. world of
if
you,
my world is the world of you.
Oh yeah, so
now my world is the world of.
Oh man,
There's two repeats.
Okay, forget. You never heard that song, folks.
Well, you know, it's you can
change it up whenever you want.
Well, you're talking about doing, like, going on automatic pilot when you're playing a song. When you've played a song so many times and someone asks you a question, you have to kind of run through it like a tape recorder. Oh, well, that part.
Oh, that part, right.
You just can't sort of pick it up and go, oh, that part. It's a strange thing the way our brains work.
Yeah.
But actually, I'd like to just comment on that. I feel that because the verses and the pre-choruses are a bit wordy, and in a really lovely way, like, when I just read the lyrics without listening to the music, I almost felt like it read like poetry. Like, it's very eloquent, like, very, like, artfully crafted. Like, there's so many interesting play with words, you know, just within the chorus itself, and then, you know, going from that last line of the verse into the pre-chorus, like, that's so clever, right? But so I think that the chorus being a bit more simple is actually kind of a nice contrast, like, and gives the person a break.
It's a break.
Because you can't demand
people listen intensely to a whole song, in my opinion. And also variation is powerful.
You can force them to.
Yeah. Bob Dylan did. But
It's also dangerous, I think, you know, as we kind of really get into songwriting and all the fidgety bits, we kind of can overthink stuff. Because I still think of that band... not Soul Salvation. Sonic. Remember the guys? And they actually just had one verse that, in one chorus that they repeated, like, three or four times.
Okay.
Sonic. There's early on the show. We'll put a link when I remember who it is. Mm. But they actually just took one verse, the same verse in the same chorus, and repeated it multiple times, saying that because people, when they first time they hear the song. You know, they want them to actually remember the song. And by throwing out too many words, that can actually kind of work, I think, maybe against you. It's an interesting thing to think
about. Then again, you may not want to ever hear it again because you feel, I've heard it three times already.
Yeah, it's an interesting, but they certainly got some good pickup.
If Neil was here, he'd be talking about this perhaps. But Neil often talks about the idea of setting up an expectation, then either fulfilling it or interrupting it and doing something entirely different.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's balance. Yeah, it's a balance.
Yeah, yeah.
But
balance.
I guess what we're saying is that in terms of you expect the chorus to repeat, and it does, maybe there's an opportunity to throw in a surprise there. And I have one picky thing as a lyricist, and this is one of my things, that, and I'll just ask you. Ending a year of a month of Sundays, you put the accent on the second syllable, which is not the way Sundays is said. Did you know that? Sundays.
Sundays.
You did it on purpose?
I guess it rhymes with Malays, right?
Well, no, I know that, but you know, you're making a choice to say it not the way someone would normally say it.
Yeah.
And that's a choice.
I like that.
That's cool.
It's we got a tweet in from Heather, Sweet 60 Simplicity. Thank you, Heather, for that.
Sweet 60 Simplicity.
Simplicity, yes.
Oh, I'm not sure what that means.
Oh, that's what she's describing. So, thank you, Heather. Yeah. Oh. I thought that was her Twitter handle or something like that. So it's like,
well, that'd be a good Twitter handle, actually.
That would be, Bill's got it.
So where did this, if it's not too personal, where did the song come from? Was it about something in your life where you wanted to express these feelings?
It was actually, it was almost in the film. So it was kind of written, and it was going to be, before we have fully fleshed out the idea of what we were going to do with the music and how much music we were going to have, this is like one of the first things that I started working on for the film, because before it was a musical, I thought, well, it's going to need a theme song or something, right? So so it was kind of an exercise in that, and then partway through writing it, we decided to take a different tact. So this song wasn't actually going to be used. We're going to more, like, all the songs that got written for the film were more conversational between two characters and such. So this is obviously a conversation.
Okay.
So I had this song pretty much finished and thought, well, okay, I'll just take out all the references to certain characters in the film and I'll just put in other, you know, wordplay and twists and turns, and, you know, I'll save it for the next album.
Well, do you get really personal with your songs, or the
do you use your own life?
Yeah, in a way, I think one has to a certain extent. You draw on what's going on around you. I decided about 2 or 3 years ago. I actually put the guitars away about 3 or 4 years ago. I put the guitars away and said, "That's it. I'm not doing this anymore." I'm gonna write kids' books.
Oh wow!
Did you?
Yeah, I wrote one, sent it to publishers, didn't work, so I thought, well, I guess I'll pick up the guitar again.
good for you for giving that a try.
Yeah. But it was healthy to walk away from it.
What made you decide to walk away with it? You just got discouraged?
It was just years of you know, the usual frustrations and such, and I just need a break. And had a new baby. She's almost five now. Hello, Janessa.
Mm. They're very demanding.
Hello, Vaughn.
Babies are very demanding.
Yes.
Yeah, because you're so selfish.
You gotta feed those them, you know, once a day, like every day.
I know. Talk about it.
You gotta water them twice a day.
I know. It's so demanding.
But anyway, so that it might
Daddy
have
loves
just,
you.
It might have just been like a sleep deprivation. I can't handle this kind of thing. Mm. I don't know what it was. So, but it was healthy actually to walk away from it. And then I got away, and then I was sort of coaxed back into it by some other people. Like, there's a band called Garage Baby, and the guys in Garage Baby.
Oh, they're so good. Amazing. Oh, God, they're so good.
They're like a super group. Garage Baby. Yeah.
They're one of the best bands.
Toronto?
Yeah. And they're four guys who are so immensely talented on their own. It's hard to pick, like, it's not like there's one leader and then three guys who are a satellite around that leader. Mm. It's like Adam Fox, Mike Bennett, James Paul, and Claude Kent.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
I have dreams that their bassist explodes and I get to play bass for them.
Okay. Janice, over to you.
All right. Well, for those of you just joining us, you're listening to Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil on CJRU 1280 AM. This is the show where songwriters talk to songwriters about the craft of songwriting. Send us your impressions via Twitter at Song Talk Radio or with the hashtag Song Talk, via email at feedback@songtalk.ca. Facebook and YouTube at Song Talk Radio, or stop by the site at songtalk.ca. And coming up on Song Talk Radio, we have the Jeff Greenway next week on July 19th.
He is
super
so
talented.
Good.
Can't wait to have him back. And our next Songwriters Roundtable meetup is Sunday, July 24th from 1 to 4 o'clock at the Transite Club on Brunswick, just south of Bloor Street West. You can get off at Bathurst or Spadina Subway Station. Bring a song and join us. Back to you, Brucey. Yeah.
Thank you, Janice. And join up on Meetup on the site so we know you're coming.
Absolutely.
And then we'll have a bit of a head count there. It's lots of fun. It's very much like this show. Each person brings in a tune. They get up in front there and either play their MP3 or they play live, which we love. And then they get feedback from people.
It's so much better than just going to an open mic.
Yeah.
Because open mic, people sort of tend to sort of play and then they kind of sit. This actually just, it really sort of encourages people to actually meet and collaborate and man, I wish something like this existed when I was like 15.
It's like a master class with many different teachers. And the people in the crowd are musicians, so they bring different feedback. Like one guy will bring a chord suggestion, someone else will be about the mood or the style or all that sort of stuff. So it's pretty cool.
And very supportive.
Very supportive.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, we don't allow any nasties.
Yeah, I mean, I've been to, I think it was kind of like a song, it was a thing where you went, it was at a SoCan thing, and they had all these A&R people, and people would play them their songs, and I guess it's for people who want to be signed, so it's kind of a serious thing. And some of the people, they weren't nasty, they were very blunt.
Mm. Simon Cowell.
Yeah, they were saying, look, that's good, but your vocal isn't strong enough, you know, the stuff isn't produced well enough, you know, and at that level. That was good, but I didn't put my stuff up, but other people did, and I was just so, I thought, man, you have such bravery to be able to do that,
because,
you know, and at that level, I understand, but that's not what the meetup is like. The meetup is you will get good feedback, and you will get accurate feedback, but it's not nasty, it's supportive, it's so good.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
So I'd like to hear another song.
I'd love to hear another song.
I was actually, I should just mention, I was taking the scenic route answering that last question of yours. I didn't quite finish answering. So you're asking, like, how much of my personal life do I put in? When I got back into music, I thought, okay, well, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to, like, write songs like crazy and play like crazy and just, like, guitar in my hands all the time. So because I sort of set this goal for myself to not just sort of write a song when I feel like it, like, I set myself down with a blank piece of paper and a pen and a guitar and go, okay, come up with something. You got half an hour.
Wow.
That's great.
Yeah. Mm. So I'm always cracking the whip on myself. But because of that, I do have to draw on just whatever I draw on. Mm. So, and I'm trying to not just go for quantity. I mean, I want quantity and quality.
Yeah.
So I'm not like writing a song a day, because you can do that, but the results might not be all that great. So I work on them. Yeah.
And what do you do when you are sitting in front of that blank piece of paper and just nothing is coming? Where do you draw that inspiration? I'm sure a lot of songwriters would love to know.
Cabernet Sauvignon.
Oh, yes.
Does it have to be an expensive one?
No. No, okay. No, no. It can
$12?
Have, it can have, like, a picture of dogs playing poker on the label. I don't care.
Okay.
It works.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. All right, so we're going to hear a song sort of like Danielle.
Just if you could just turn up the amp just a hair, just a hair.
Oh, okay, we got some balance going here. How's that, Phil?
I think it's good.
And don't forget, you can find the lyrics for this song on songtalk.ca.
Right on the homepage.
Follow along.
First page and follow along. Anything we need to know about this song before you sing it?
Not really. This was sort of loosely another possible thing that was going to be in the film, and then
film reject.
Well, I personally rejected.
You rejected it.
I sort of I started sort of writing and thought I'm already doing film.
He had
songs,
too many amazing songs.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. All right, here's TC Folk Punk. He's going to be singing his own tune, sort of like Danielle.
Now he's looking for someone sort of like Danielle, as near as he can tell. Though he's looking for someone, he sort of likes Danielle as well. Picture up on a scene at a party, cameras rolling and fate's controlling the script. Ochre walls punctuated with paintings, two old masters of love's disasters lock lips. But meanwhile, back in reality, he's juggling the shards and the fragments of whatever make up his current frame of life. Now he's looking for someone sort of like Danielle, as near as he can tell. Though he's looking for someone, he sort of likes Danielle as well. In the wake of a Saturday sunset, hugs were tender till he surrendered within. Call to action, reciting a wish list, realizing the one she's prizing is him. But meanwhile, trapped in a bubble where the air is now as thin as his patience, he's decided to break the surface tension soon. Ah, now he's looking for someone sort of like Danielle, as near as he can tell. Though he's looking for someone, he sort of likes Danielle as well. Sort of likes Danielle as well. Thinking about Danielle as well.
Right, and you're listening to CJRU 1280 on the AM dial, and that was TC Folk Bomb with Punk. Sorry, TC
Folk Bomb
Punk. There's a K on there.
Paint Bomb
with sort of like Danielle. I really like that title. Mm. Sort of like Danielle. It's sort of a very cool song. I really loved your lyric play. I mean,
yes.
Two old masters of love's disasters lock lips. Mm-hmm. I mean, all right. Ochre walls with paintings and fates controlling the script. And you have a way with words, man. I mean, really, really entertaining. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this one has such a good spirit. And you're entering your lyric, like the scanning of the lyrics didn't land where I expected them to. Like they jumped in early and all that just off. And it brought to mind the best, I hate it when announcers say this, but they refer to other bands, right? Mm. But it brought to mind like early Elvis Costello mixed with like really, really entertaining as hell and really punchy, like... Yeah. The rhythm, like you have such great rhythm in your tunes, right? And is that enough praise?
Yeah, is your head going to be able to shut out the door?
It's unqualified so far.
I'm good.
It's unqualified so far.
You can't see me blush on radio. So
Janice?
I love your lyric writing. Is it called Internal Rhymes? So Danielle, Tell, Ruling, Controlling, Masters, Disasters.
That's exactly what it's called.
Was it difficult for you to do that? Because, I mean, it flows so well. That I'm wondering if it took like a lot of effort to you know,
or is that a natural
do that
thing
throughout
for you?
The entire song?
It was. I remember there were a number of sheets of paper got crumpled up and tossed in the recycling. there were a bunch of rewrites on that one, but that's just part of my MO. Is I just sort of set aside just like 1 hour every night, if possible, and I'm gonna write. So.
And you normally edit your first draft of lyrics?
Yeah.
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 Because I know
sometimes nothing from the first draft makes it to the end. There's draft after draft.
That'll be encouraging for some of our writers out there. We've had people here and they say, well, it all just came to me suddenly and I wrote it all down and it hasn't changed a word. And then we listen to it and we go, oh my God, it's good. It's good. So that can happen.
It can.
But it's not where professional songwriters land. Mm. A professional songwriter, somebody who's really serious, will write a lot of songs and they'll understand that there may be something really powerful in the first draft that needs to be reworked.
Mm-hmm. But
As Neil Simon, the great comedy playwright, said, a play isn't written, it's rewritten.
Yeah.
And so that's really with a song. A song isn't written, it's rewritten.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think if you're going to be serious about songwriting, is you need to be willing to look at every line and thinking, okay, is that line as good as it can be?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And I feel when I read your lyrics or listen to them that you've done that work. That's how
it... yeah, I have. Well, it's almost like fishing. Like sometimes you catch a line and you go, this line's too small. I'm throwing it back in the lake. So it's kind of that one.
I liked Hugs Are Tendered Till He Surrendered. I thought that was kind of a good line. One thing is listening to the two songs, because I, you know, before the show, I always have the songs, our guests play on my iPod, and I listen to them repeatedly. And one thing is I noticed is that the tempo of these two songs happen to be quite the same. Whereas, and I now remember thinking that The World of You, you could actually speed it up a lot, and I think that would have actually kind of pushed sort of the wordplay a bit, you know?
The World of You... it's actually supposed to be slower. I want it to be more like a Rolling Stone. I think I just play it too fast, you know, the band. So they are supposed to be different in tempo.
I was thinking almost more like, you know, like really early new wave. You know,
I was going to do it more like, originally when I started writing it, it was more like, you know, You Can't Hurry Love by the Supremes.
Oh, right.
Lust for Life.
Oh, yeah.
Give us a bit of what it was going to be.
The world of you. I think the world of you.
A town called Malice.
See, the problem with the issue that is, I think it makes it a bit too soft. And I think by making it a bit chunkier and a bit punkier, it kind of gives it a kind of an interesting edge.
Did you say a gunk?
Chunky.
Chunky. Try
The world of you, the world of you. I think the world of you.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, something like that.
I have other songs in the album that will be.
Oh, okay,
It's hard to do it in the context of the eight songs, but yeah.
So I'm going to get a bit into the guitar stuff, because I'm a guitar nerd. And, of course, we were talking about you're getting the new Yamaha, what is it, the Rev series?
Revstar. Yes.
They are so cool.
I guess I can say that.
One thing I've noticed, though, is a lot of people who do just solo guitar stuff, they have lots of effects and lots of pedals, and they're always doing lots of different stuff. Mm-hmm. You don't do any of that.
No, my favorite effect is the cable.
Yeah. Like, do you when you perform live, but, do you like, have you, pedals or
no.
just straight ahead?
Do you,
no,
but do you ever
no
use
reverb, nothing?
Do you ever use distortion or anything like that?
I do. Yeah, I tend to have just a little bit of like crunch or overdrive there, and I use like sort of control the volume knob on the guitar. So if I back it off slightly, it kind of goes away. It's clean, and if I turn up all the way, it's just enough to push into the crunchy zone, right? So I kind of have the amp or sans amp or whatever I'm using just kind of set just on the edge of breakup.
But you never get really that distorted.
No, it's, you know, when I'm playing solo, it can go over the top really easily. There's a certain a certain kind of sweet spot for the drive. I don't want it absolutely pristine and clean, because I might as well just play acoustic at that point. So I do want the edge and that, and that's, you know, sort of my Clash punk roots coming through there.
Right.
Probably,
do you play with, like, reverb or anything like that, or is it just...
I do use reverb.
But, I mean, do you vary that from song to song, or you basically have your sound and that's kind of...
Basically have the sound, and then I try to play more with dynamics and tempos and key changes and things like that. I try to, you know, work that as much as possible.
Are you choosing different pickups on the guitar, or basically...
Yes, I will do that sometimes, yeah. Although I've kind of gotten used to just having both of these on... The two humbuckers on full blast.
Oh, okay.
What are they called? Humbuckers?
Humbuckers.
Humbuckers. Is that the name of the pickups?
Well, that's the pickup design,
Maybe we can take a picture and tweet that out.
The old days, they used to have what's called single coils.
Yeah.
So they would actually they'd be very noisy and they'd buzz because of the lights.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came up with these humbuckers, which are actually two coils of magnets, and they basically are very quiet.
Oh,
so, yeah, okay. They're two single coils, but with the polarity of the magnets spun opposite each other and were right next to each other.
But a guitar nerdy for this.
Because I had an acoustic electric Seagull years ago, and it had something called a piezo, which was a little microphone right inside the body, and then it had an actual pickup. It had both, and you could go between the two and mix them or just go to one or the other.
Yeah.
It was pretty cool, the different sounds you could get, right?
Yeah.
But are you asking Phil, how does he mix it up in a concert setting? How does he get variation to the
tunes? Well, it's interesting because I was on Reddit and we were talking about, you know, not needing a band, you know, just doing, just electric guitar.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering how you handle that because, you know, do you just have the one sound or, because I think some people would say it just having an electric guitar could be limiting, you know, sonically limiting. But really no more limiting than acoustic guitar.
Less limiting than an acoustic.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably that. What can you do? You can do like a mute with your back of your hand. You can do some finger picking. Do you do any picking at all? Is it all strumming?
I don't tend to because there's always a chance I'll drop the pick and never find it again in time for the next song.
That is not fun.
Yeah. But I think like one of the things that's less limiting with an electric is that you can play. I mean, you can play bar chords way. Like I can play an A, you know.
So much easier.
Way up there. And that's, I mean... Yeah, for one thing, the body of most acoustics stops you, about the 12th to 14th fret. Right.
So voicings is what you do for differences.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So some songs I'll just use a whole bunch of bar chords kind of up around between the 8th and 12th fret, and then for others I'll be down at the end for, a lower...
Right.
Do you use the circle of fifths in your writing at all?
Probably. I don't know.
It's a secret society. Remember, Dennis, the Circle of Fifths. It's a society. You pray to it, kind of. No, we had a whole show on the Circle of Fifths once of doing chord substitutions, how if a writer wants to bring some variety to their song when they move to the next version of the chorus, maybe they could, like the Beatles did, throw in a different chord, which is really a chord substitution,
chord substitutions,
right?
Yeah.
Substitutions. Yeah, yeah. You do that from time to time?
Yeah, I don't really have a formula like Circle of Fifths. I've done... that, you know, but then there are times I'll go for a third or a minor second or a F demented or I don't know, whatever.
I love the F demented.
Oh, isn't it though?
I can relate.
Yes.
So, Tim, are you planning to, is there anything different that you want to do with your songwriting going forward? Any different types of songs that you want to write? Like any, you know,
start
slow,
serious money.
That's
what I want.
Besides that.
That's not what I said. That's not what I meant.
I think I'll just keep trying new ideas. I hope I never run out of ideas. I'd hate to get to the point where I have to just keep rewriting ones I've already written.
Did you fall in love with collaboration enough to try it again?
Not
fall in love. Did you like it enough to collaborate again? Would you do it
totally,
again?
Yeah. Jude and I have sort of talked about an idea for the next film.
What's Jude's last name?
Clausen.
Jude Clausen.
Yeah.
And that's what's the name of that film again?
Love in the Sixth.
Is that a Canadian indie comedy film coming soon to a theater near you?
It has been so far.
Love in the Sixth.
Yes.
Getting back to the song, though.
Yes.
Are you doing... you've mostly been doing just kind of chord stuff. Are you doing kind of lead things? Do you ever do any sort of lead stuff or little
It'd be like sort of a two or three string lead thing.
Yeah.
Like more like a lead riff. Because when you go from the, you know, sound of all six strings roaring, you go like that, or, you know, it's kind
of... give us an example of that little riff like that? Just for example, semi-lead?
Yeah, I've got a song called Whatever, so it's Whatever. Just a quick little just like a pentatonic.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever tried looping? Because we had someone in here, and they just put a loop in, and they played a certain progression. Now, the song has to keep that progression, of course.
Yeah.
But then they were playing lead against it and a vocal. It was just amazing, you know? I mean, have you ever experimented with that?
I haven't. I've seen people do it. It's done well, it's great. When it's not quite done well, it's like every time you come around, that fourth beat has just jumped. Like if you nail it exactly, then
it's a hard thing to do, I think.
And it's one more thing that needs batteries or an AC adapter, you're tripping over it.
So I'm keeping it simple.
Yeah. Just show up and play,
Beautiful.
And you're doing a lot of gigging now, right? Tim, or
what's that?
You're doing a lot of gigging now, right? Is there a upcoming show that we can tell our listeners about?
Yes, there is one at the Queen's Legs Pub on Eglinton Avenue near Avenue Road on Friday, July 22nd, I think, is the Friday, or 23rd?
Yep,
23rd.
22nd.
Yeah, 22nd. Legs?
Queen's legs.
We're not supposed to talk about the Queen's legs, are we? Is that legal?
Well, what part of here do you want to talk about?
She's like 90. On,
too late.
Oh, okay, well, anyway, but that's at Eglinton Avenue Road.
Could be the Queen's pegs.
Eglinton Avenue Road.
Eglinton Avenue Queen's Road.
Yeah. Friday, okay. July 22nd, yeah. And I can personally vouch for Tim's performances. They are so high energy, you know, go so quickly because every song just moves and grooves, and you're so awesome on stage. You have a great, you know, presence.
I want to come back here every week. This is great.
Anytime, well, anytime you can play the show back, yourself, it's recorded. Just come on the show.
So now, how are you putting together your set lists? Because you are playing live, and you played live a lot, and you learn a lot from playing live.
Yeah. Well, I write out the set lists, and but I will often look down at a song and go, no, not that one. I'll sort of think it's a combination of having the set list there and then thinking on the fly.
Yeah.
You read the room and go, no, they don't want to hear this right now. I'm going to do that in the next set. Yeah.
And at this point, you're such a seasoned performer that is it just super easy for you now, or do you still kind of get a little bit of nerves?
Yeah. I don't get nerves. I get adrenaline. Mm-hmm. And if anything, I'll be sitting, I'm not sort of dreading going on stage. I'm like, can I go on now?
Yeah.
Well, I start in half an hour. I'm ready now. What?
Yeah.
You know, let's go. I'm full of caffeine and adrenaline. And I just want to do this. You know, so it's I get keyed up, but in a different way. Yeah.
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 Okay. Well, that would be July 22nd. I think if it's a Friday, we're just checking our calendar here.
Thank you. Yes.
Queen's Legs, and you can go see CTC live. Yeah. And it's just you, or is there another band?
It's just me. Three sets of originals.
Is this a dining room or a pub?
It's
a pub. Queen's Legs.
Yeah.
How are their wings?
I don't know yet.
Oh, was your first gig there?
First gig there, yeah.
Gig. Wow, cool.
Yeah. So you're doing three sets. How many songs would that be?
I usually do about a dozen in each.
A dozen in each?
Holy smokes.
It's a lot of songs.
A lot of songs.
Is there a cover?
Nope.
Oh, wow.
Nope.
Well, let's put it in our calendars right now, Friday, July 22nd.
So how are you getting these gigs? Because I know a lot of people wonder how you actually get
It's gigs. It's a lot of legwork. I've gone on some of the gigs I've gotten recently. I've just gone on to different sites. Yeah, you just go to Google or go to Blogteal or something and just type in live music gigs Toronto, and then you start to go through them all and read the reviews. And unfortunately, in that I have on my YouTube channel, I have a couple of pretty good, well shot live videos of certain songs, and so I just will send bookers to that so they can get a rough idea. What I'm about.
Oh, okay, that's good.
They get the real thing, though. They know what they're going to get.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Do you, have you ever used Sonic Bids?
I haven't. No, I haven't had to yet.
What is that?
Sonic Bids is, I think they're still around.
Bids, B-I-D-S?
B-I-D-S, yeah. They're sort of like electronic
EPK.
Press kit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you're playing North by Northeast, you actually had to submit through Sonic Bids. So it's a site, and you get to upload music and photos.
Who uses it? The bookers?
Well, bookers are in bands. You can use it. There's, you can find gigs through it and stuff.
It's a promotional site.
We only ever use it just for North by Northeast.
Yeah, I think you have to pay for the service, though, don't you? Isn't that?
There's a free level, and then there's a paid version. I mean, the paid version was like $25 a year, so it's not a lot of money. So
the free version, they don't actually say your name; they have to guess.
Guess. Yeah.
they just fill the application with random lies.
Yeah. There you go.
So Tim, for any, singer songwriters who are new to the gigging world, do you have some TC do's and don't tips?
Yeah, that's a good one when you're starting out.
Yeah.
The one thing that has driven me nuts back when I used to do open stages. I don't do a lot of open stages now because I would often just do them to get a gig at a place and I'm sort of past that. But if you're going out to an open stage and you've got a brand new song you just finished that day, make sure you know it. that's one thing that would happen time after time. I used to go the three times in that on a regular basis years ago, and somebody would get up and say, oh, I just wrote this today. And you sort of like get through the first verse and go, sorry, guys.
Not a time for trying out new material.
No. Right. You're not at home in your bedroom. You're up on stage with, like treat every gig, no matter how small, like it's, it's.
Well, that is the nice thing about the meetup, though, is because you can actually bring up your lyrics and like play off your lyrics.
Well, because, workshop type.
Yeah, because you're with other musicians. But doing live, live open mic, you want to be a little bit.
But you're right.
What are some other do's, though, for somebody starting out? Do be on time, I assume. Be on time, be ready.
Yeah.
And in tune.
Have a checklist. I have a checklist just taped to the wall.
Really?
Of all the stuff you have to remember to bring, like your capos and such. Like that's one of the worst things you get to
again
and realize, oh, I forgot that. Well, just write it down. And
would you share that with us and we can share it with the listeners?
Like what's on the checklist?
Yeah, might be too personal.
Put it on my wall with me. But it'd be, you know, cape, like tuner, extra strings, string winder, and...
extra picks.
Extra picks, yeah.
Valium.
Valium, for you or the audience, depending on the
gig. Now, do you bring a second guitar when you're playing?
I don't.
Ooh.
You don't?
Just strings.
No. Because I travel light. I hop on the subway or
yeah, I can understand that.
I have this very kind of... sniper mercenary almost approach to it, where I just want to fly in, do the gig, and then last song's done, and I just unplug, wrap
you
up.
You travel light.
Yeah.
And that works quick, for you.
Yeah.
That works for you. That's
I
cool.
used to have like a huge pedal board and, you know, bring extra guitars, and I got so tired of it, I just wanted to bring, you know, my one guitar. Unfortunately, my bass weighs about the same as a 57 Chevy, so
oh,
a bit of a challenge.
Man, what else? What would be a don't for a gig? So someone's going to pay you to perform. What would be a don't?
Don't forget to get the money at the end of the night.
Is that a challenge sometime?
No, not for me.
Do you get it in advance or after you've played? What do you think?
Usually after. If you're Chuck Berry, you get paid up front. But
when Aretha takes it in cash. Did you know this about Aretha Franklin?
No.
She takes the money in cash in advance when she gets to the gig, and she brings it on stage with her inner purse, and it stays there.
Yeah.
I just read this about her. She is a trooper, right? She's like, no one's going to... Beep, beep with me, right? Around money.
Yeah.
No, so don't mess with
Aretha. That's good
She's
advice.
She's probably had enough gigs in the past where, you know, at the end of the night, go to the box office and, you know, the promoter took off with it.
Right.
You just have to have that happen once. And you're like, no, I just.
It can be nasty. I had a friend who was playing nightclub gigs and bar gigs, and she just said some of the club owners were really unscrupulous. You know, they'd say a certain amount at the end of the gig. Well, we had a slow night. I'm going to cut you back to $200, right? And I was like, no.
Yeah, there's a don't. Don't ever play that place again.
Don't play that place.
True.
And tell your friends not to play there, and tell everybody through Facebook, don't even go there.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Shut them down.
But I think I hear the band.
Oh, is the band playing?
The band's playing. I think they kind of want to get
home. You're going to have to come back again.
Yes.
Okay.
But we won't leave it for a year. We'll have you back. Well, we're almost out of time here tonight on Song Talk Radio with Bruce, Neil, and Phil. And tonight, filling in for Neil. Filling in. Get it? Bruce, Neil, and Phil, and filling in for Neil was Janice.
Thank you, Janice.
And our guest tonight was TC Folk Punk. So go have a listen on Bandcamp.
And how do they get more of your music there, TC?
Yeah, Bandcamp.
Just go to folkpunk.com and follow all the links from there. Go to the links page, and there's, you know, the buttons for
Folk Punk. That's F-O-L-K-P-U-N-K, Folk Punk. And we'd like to thank CGRU 1280 for supporting us. Most of all, we'd like to thank you, the listener, wherever you are. And please let us know what you think at feedback@songtalk.ca and on Twitter at songtalkradio or #songtalk and on Facebook. Oh, we're everywhere, TC.
Yeah.
Facebook and YouTube at songtalkradio. Please stop by the website. Remember, websites are still very popular. songtalk.ca. And guess what? You can go there and find out how to be a guest on our show.
Yes.
That'd be great.
Oh, yes.
You can follow Phil on...
at the Phil Emery.
Sorry, at what?
At the Phil Emery.
Oh, you're the now. Yes. Janice at?
Janice O'Tweets.
And Nicole?
Nicole K. DiDonato.
And Bruce at Bruce Harrett, two R's and two T's. So that's it for tonight. Please tune in next time and come on out and see us at the thing.
Yes, and of course we want to say thanks to our Twitter people.
Shout out to Sharon Earhart and Heather Spratt. Thank you so much for tweeting in tonight.
Thanks, guys. Thank
you. We appreciate it. And come on back again. Keep writing songs. Yeah. Good night.
Good night, all.
Good night.